Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm so glad that you've come. It's been a wonderful worship service to God. We are priests to our God. Priests bring people closer to God. That's their role. And we've already had a wonderful priestly service in the prayers and the readings and the Lord's Supper and the contribution, all those things, and in the singing that was done here this morning. It is my job not to put a sour note on that and to hopefully guide the ship into port, because worship has already been excellent and has uplifted me. Amen? Amen. If you want to take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 1, there will be no PowerPoint this morning. I didn't really think I could add much to what we were doing other than looking and reading the Scriptures. That's all we're going to do today. I'm not going to make any point that is new or otherworldly, but we're just going to look and see how God interacts with people in His life. The title of this lesson is, What If Jesus Was Your Brother? What if Jesus was your brother? You know, for there were people that lived in this world, Jesus was their brother. I imagine that they got into fights over small things. I would imagine that there were times when they did things that they all got in trouble. I'm going to imagine that somebody tattled on somebody. I'm going to imagine that those things in those teenage years happened. That times were not always smooth. In fact, we know that from Jesus' relationship with his brothers. Jesus' brothers were not believers. Did you know that? Were you aware of the fact that Jesus went to the cross? His own family did not believe in him in a large respect. They believed him to be Jesus, their brother, the guy they knew. But this idea of him being the Christ, they just couldn't understand it. They couldn't wrap their mind around it. They couldn't see that. So let's start in Luke chapter 1 and verse 30. And the one thing I want to start by noticing is this. Jesus was the firstborn. And you might say, well, how do I know that? Because there's no list of brothers. Well, we know that because of the way Jesus was conceived. Jesus was conceived in such a way that Mary remained a virgin. And so Jesus had to be the first of brothers and sisters. Luke chapter 1, let's read verse 30 through 35. Luke chapter 1. Verses 30 through 35. And the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Mary said to the angel, How will this be, since I am a virgin? Here's the point to this portion of our lesson. God did something here no man could do. If you had let somebody be the father of Jesus the Christ, if you had had the lineage of that continue past Jesus Christ, don't you know that that would have been something that would have become an idol? No man could have handled being the father of the Christ. So the angel tells Mary in verse 35, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called holy, the son of, not a man, but the son of God. Jesus was born of a woman, the son of God. How can that be? We're just like Mary in that regard. We don't really know how, even though God tells us that he did it through his Holy Spirit. I will tell you this, should it surprise us that God can do that? Absolutely not. If you believe that God created all mankind and all living creatures, how big a deal was it to produce one human being, one birth out of a virgin woman? It wasn't really that big a deal. Unless you were Jesus' brother. So Jesus, being the oldest, was probably the smartest and the good-lookingest. Just making sure we all know the deal here. Sorry. My brother's here. I would have said that with even more gusto. But, you know, Jesus had the opportunity to say, you know, I'm the Son of God. But I will tell you something else. You know what his brothers had the chance to say? Yeah. It could have gotten ugly. And we don't know that any of that happened. But we know that Jesus had brothers and sisters. And we know that they grew up. And we know for a fact they did not believe, because the Bible tells us, they didn't believe that who Jesus said he was. So Jesus was the oldest. And there was even a moment in Scripture, and we're going to take a look at it in Mark chapter 3, where Jesus refused his family. Now, I'm not saying here that Jesus in some way refused to help his family or his mother or any of those things. But there is a point here where Jesus chooses us over his earthly family. Now, here we go. You've been the brother of this guy all these years. He's the oldest. He's always getting away with everything. He runs off and he's in the temple asking questions. Jesus never seems to get in trouble. Can't you hear brothers and sisters arguing like that? And then all of a sudden, they think he's lost his mind. He's running around telling everybody he's the Christ. And there, you've got to be kidding me. And then Jesus chooses you and I over his earthly family. Did you know that? Did you know that Jesus chose people who rebelled against him, who would curse his name? He chose those people over his own flesh and blood family? That's true. So when Jesus tells us that he did not bring a peace but a sword, and he's come to set families against each other, he knew what that was about. Take a look at Mark chapter 3 and verse 31. Mark chapter 3 and verse 31. And his mother, that's Jesus, so Jesus' mother and his brothers came. Standing outside, they sent to him and called him. And a crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you." Now, what do you think at that moment the crowd expected from Jesus? Jesus, your mother and your brother are outside expecting you. Don't they imagine he would drop everything he was doing and go out and run out there and hug his brothers and kiss his mother? That's what I would do. But Jesus uses this as a teaching moment to tell us there's something more important than flesh and blood. There's something more important than how we were born or what order we were born in. There is choosing salvation. Verse 33. Jesus answered, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" Now you are Jesus' brother and you hear that? You're his mother? Who are my brothers? I'm your brother. What do you mean, who is my brother? Do you know for Jesus' family, this had to be a moment where they felt they were being denied. They were being lessened in some way. Jesus says, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking around at those who sat around him, remember all those tax collectors and sinners? "Here are my mother and my brothers." And then Jesus puts the point on it. "For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother." Our spiritual relationship is more important than our physical relationship. Do you know that? Do you know that this church is a family of God, that we are to love each other more than even our family? We're to put ourselves first, even over our brothers and sisters. If my brother and sister are doing wrong and my Christian brother and sister are doing right, there is no doubt where my allegiance lies. Just like Jesus, who are my brothers and my mother? Those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. So you've had to put up with Jesus as the older brother. Now he seems to be denying the family. He's denying the family and continuing to separate himself from his earthly family. Take a look in the same book of Mark at chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, verse 1. Jesus is going to utter a phrase I'm assuming we're familiar with. You may not actually know that Jesus says it. But Jesus is going to talk about the problem that familiarity breeds contempt. Now, that's not the Bible verse. But familiarity breeds contempt. If we know each other too well sometimes, that can be problematic. If my wife knows all my flaws, if you want to know all the bad things about me, she's ready and willing to tell you. Not really. Well, yeah, really. But she knows who I am. My kids know who I am. Your kids know who you are. Your brothers and sisters know who you really are. The people closest to you know who you really are. And sometimes they can't imagine you as being an expert. No expert comes from your hometown. Did you know that? Experts come from long ways away, and they've gone to colleges we can't spell. Well, in some way, Jesus predicted that and also dealt with it in Mark 6, verse 1. Mark chapter 6, verse 1. Let's think about Jesus' brothers as he said this. "He went away from there and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. And on the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many who heard him were astonished, saying, 'Where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands?'" Now, I did not know Ryson was going to talk about the next thing I'm going to mention in his Lord's Supper talk this morning. It was just a happy coincidence. But I put down here that Jesus is a carpenter's son. Look at the next verse. Is not this the carpenter's son? Excuse me, the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James and Joseph, Judas and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household. Jesus was more honored by friends and drunkards and prostitutes than he was his own family. Were they taken aback by Jesus saying, who are my brother and my mothers? I'm sure they were. But at the same time, they did not believe who he was. They were not willing to follow him. They were not putting out nets to catch men. They were busy with their own lives. To Jesus, he's just that local kid who's the carpenter's son. Let me tell you something, that would have been something difficult to overcome. If I were to think of someone as the Christ, the Son of God, the carpenter's son, where did he get these things? So Jesus is the firstborn. He's born of a virgin. He comes in and he's the oldest. He denies his family at some point. In fact, denies them to the point that he says, my spiritual family is more important to me than my earthly one. And then they come around and they say, I can't understand how this carpenter's son can be a prophet. Well, John chapter 7 was our scripture reading this morning. I wish you'd turn over there. This is actually the verse that got me thinking on this sermon. It just flatly said that Jesus' brothers did not believe him. And I think we're to read some sarcasm. I think there's a lot of sarcasm in this text. I think his brothers here are saying, well, you think you're so big and bad, you just go do something for us. I think we need to see that in the text. John 7, verse 3 through 5. John chapter 7, verses 3 through 5. Let me start in verse 2. Now the Jews' feast of the booths was at hand. So his brothers said to him, leave here, go to Judea, that your disciples also may see the works you are doing. For no one works in secret if he seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. For not even his brothers believed in him. Jesus said to them, my time has not yet come, but your time is always here. You see what they're saying? You are Mr. Big Time. You can't be the big time out here in Nazareth. You can't be the big time in Capernaum. You want to be Mr. Big Time, you go to Jerusalem. You want to prove to us you're the Son of God, prove to us the Messiah, go sit on that throne like all those Old Testament passages say you're going to do. Now, they were wrong because they did not have faith. But they were right in a sense. They were saying to Jesus, don't sit here in a closet and tell us how you are just so you can get over on us. I cannot help but imagine the younger brother syndrome going on here. All their life, Jesus has been the older brother, and here he is again. He's telling us how great he is. He's telling a few people how great he is, but he's afraid to go out and proclaim it publicly. He's afraid to go to Jerusalem. Jesus did go to Jerusalem at a later date, and it says in private he went. Now, if you know the story of John chapter 7, he eventually stood up and declared quite a few things about the coming of the kingdom at the end. But at that time, his brothers did not believe him. So how is it that we have this reference to James and to Judas and these brothers who were believers? How does a man named James become in charge, seemingly at least, if not in charge, close to it, of the church in Jerusalem? What's the difference between John chapter 7 and the book of Acts? What's the difference between Jesus before he's crucified and after he's resurrected? Faith. No more. The physical relationship they had to Jesus. Don't you imagine somebody would say, well, we know this, in the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus, a rich man, cries out and says, oh, if my brothers could hear, if someone were raised from the dead, they would believe. Not necessarily. Jesus was raised from the dead. More people disbelieve that today than believe it. More people in Clarksville, Tennessee are going to end up in the same place the rich man ended up, wishing that someone would bring a drop of clean, pure water to put it on their tongue, because they did not believe, even though God did someone someone sin, someone raised from the dead. But for the brothers of Jesus, we can say this. They were non-believers. They seemed to have been rejected by Jesus. They'd seen him grow up as the carpenter's son. But they did believe at one time. Look at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 and verse 14. This is an interesting little tidbit here. This is after Jesus has been crucified and resurrected, and he's ascended in chapter 1. And basically what happens is all the apostles and the disciples of Jesus Christ, about 120 people, basically went into an upper room and waited to see what would happen. And in that room was Mary, the mother of Jesus, but also his brothers, it says. Look at Acts chapter 1 and verse 14. This is just, it's really not a certainly intended to be a moving verse, but it is moving in a sense. I'll back up to verse 12. Then they returned to Jerusalem. So Acts chapter 1 and verse 12. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, Peter and John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these were with one accord, were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women, and Mary the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. We talk all the time about Peter, right? I've done the sermon. Every preacher has a sermon based on the difference between Peter who denied Christ and Peter who declared Christ. We have, when Jesus is on the cross, before his resurrection, before the Holy Spirit comes, who is Peter? He's the kind of person who would run from a little girl. After Jesus has been resurrected, appeared to him, and ascended into heaven, who is Peter? He's the one who would face down lions. He would proclaim Jesus no matter what the situation, no matter what the danger, because he said, we cannot help but speak of what we have seen and heard. You be the judge whether we should follow man or God. What was the difference? What's the difference for you? We talked last Sunday night about what do people confess before they're a Christian. I will tell you this. You must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you believe that because you believe he was resurrected from the dead. Do you believe that Jesus, the Son of God, the Christ, was raised from the dead? Do you believe God did that? Do you believe God was saying, hear him, this is my beloved Son? If you don't, you'll never become a Christian in the first place. And if you don't fully believe it, you'll never put Jesus first in your life. You'll never become one of those that Jesus said, these who are do the will of my Father in heaven are my brothers and my sisters. You'll fall short. When temptation comes or persecution comes, you'll fall away. Because you only believe in Jesus as a man. Jesus is more than a man. He's more than a brother, more than a family member. He's the resurrected Son of God. He is light. He is life. He is the eternal life. He lived before this world. He will live after this world. Yet he decided to come and die for us, that we might have salvation and come and live in the home of his Father. If you have brothers or sisters and they have friends, now, kids don't play outside as much together as they used to when we were kids. I'm sure all you're tired of hearing old people talk about, yeah, back in my day, we'd eat dirt and we'd play out in the yard all day. Well, that was true. My mama's favorite saying was, make up your mind. Are you coming in or staying out? Because we ain't air conditioned in the neighborhood. They were fine with us staying out till dinner time. In fact, they were probably more than fine with that. But I tell you something. If I was going to have a little kid over to the house to eat, if I had some new neighbor kid I liked, and me and little Joey, Joey said, can I come to your house and eat? How did that kid get in the house? I had to ask my father or my mother. My father or mother would say, yes, you can, this is your friend. Your friend can come into the house. Now, you can't just wander in without being a friend. If I don't know you, you can't come in the house. But if you're a friend of the Son, you can come on in. You feel that family relationship? You sense that way in which Jesus and his brothers, you know they went through these kinds of things, not necessarily over him being the Son of God, but they went through the normal activities of everybody else. But their brother rose from the dead. Do you know who was in a position not to believe it? These brothers. Don't you know they would have been skeptical from beginning to end? They were skeptical from beginning to end. They could not overcome the fact that Jesus appeared to them in the flesh after they watched him die. And then they watched him ascend into heaven. In the same way, that is what we believe. That is what we preach and we teach. That great miracle happened. It occurred. I live my life by faith in that one simple act. So we know in Acts chapter 1 and verse 14 that the family is mentioned here in passing. They're mentioned a little bit more specifically in 1 Corinthians 15. Turn over there if you will. 1 Corinthians 15, that great gospel passage, a great passage of the discussion of our physical bodies and what will happen at the resurrection. In fact, the whole entire chapter of 1 Corinthians 15 is a defense of the resurrection. Why? Because Paul said, if we preach Jesus was resurrected and Jesus was not resurrected, we are liars. Not only are we liars, but we are lying about the very God of heaven, because we say the God of heaven who raised him from the dead. His brothers are in this passage. 1 Corinthians 15, let's begin with verse 3. 1 Corinthians verse 15, verse 3. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in according with the Scriptures, that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, although some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Well, you're thinking to yourselves, there's no brother of Jesus in there. Well, yes, there is. James. Now, if you're thinking James the apostle, at this point in time, James the apostle was dead. He'd had his head cut off for his faith in Jesus Christ. The James mentioned here is the brother of Jesus. Jesus, in his resurrected body, made a special note to appear to James. The reason James and his brothers were in that upper room, not because they heard a story about Jesus' resurrection, but because they saw Jesus resurrected. And let me tell you something, that'll change you. Well, it'll change you today if you have faith to make it real. Think for just a moment of what James could have said. If he had never seen Jesus resurrected, he had been a doubter. He probably would have continued to be a doubter. But at some point, he could doubt no longer because he saw it in front of him. When Thomas saw Jesus, he doubted no longer. When he saw Jesus, James, his brother, doubted no longer as well. Well, big deal. That's just the story of a man. Well, that James turned out to be more than just a believer. He turned out to be a writer of one of our books of the New Testament. It's also believed that Jude, perhaps, also is a brother of our Lord. And James rose within the church to be not only a skeptic, but a believer, to one of the elders, if not the first leader of the Jerusalem church. Look in Galatians chapter 1, just in passing. Galatians 1, verses 18 through 19. I want you to notice what Paul says about the man he goes to see. And we'll talk about this in Acts 15 in just a moment. Galatians 1, verse 18. Paul here is just relating his history in Christianity. He says, then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas, and remained with him for 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now, you could have read brothers in Acts 1, and you could have heard me talk about James in 1 Corinthians, and you could have gone, that was somebody else. I don't believe what he's saying about James the apostle. It could have been James the apostle. It could have been anybody named James. Who does Paul say it is? Paul said that James is the brother of our Lord. And at one time for James, I'm sure he thought of that almost as a term of derision. Did he want to be associated with this crazy guy who was a carpenter's son who was running around telling everybody he was the Christ? I'm sure James had thoughts of not wanting to hear that, not wanting to hear anybody talk to him about that. But now he was James, the writer of a book of our Bible. Now he's James, a leader in the church in Jerusalem. Look at Acts chapter 15. What Paul is referring to in Galatians is what occurs to in Acts 15. Paul had had his first missionary journey with Barnabas. They had been very successful, and Jesus had been preached to many Gentiles. Well, as you know, that caused quite a hubbub in the church. So Paul and some people with him and Peter and others, they all come to the church in Jerusalem to make a decision about what do we do with these Gentiles? Do we circumcise them or not? You had some people saying, yes, you have to circumcise them. Others saying no. So they had a question to answer, and they came and brought it before the elders of the church. Peter doesn't make the decision, despite what the Roman Catholic Church may tell you. Paul didn't make the decision. The one who spoke and led the group was James, the man who Paul says is the brother of our Lord. Acts 15, verse 13. Acts 15 and verse 13. After they finished speaking, that's a direct reference to Paul and Peter. After they finished speaking, James replied, "Brothers, listen to me." This non-believer, this skeptic, this man who used sarcasm at our Lord, "Go on up and show them in Jerusalem who you are," has not only become a believer, he's a leader. Do you know what this tells me if you're a brother or a sister today? I don't know what your life has been up to this point. But you can change. You can become a servant of Christ. You can one day become a leader in the church if you're consistent and faithful over time. There are men in this church that are leaders today that I promise you had you ask them at one point in their life, not only would they have thought that was funny, everybody around them would have thought it was funny. But the resurrection made James a leader. Look at verse 19. "Therefore my judgment..." Now this is James. Who's making this decision? All these great men of the Bible, all these great heroes of Christianity speak. It is James who says, "Therefore my judgment is, we should not trouble those of the Gentiles who turn to God." They decide to write a letter. And in verse 28 of the same chapter, Acts chapter 15 and verse 28... the letter is sent out to all these Gentiles to be read. I want you to notice in this letter who was with these apostles. Who was there to make the decision? Who was speaking through James? "And it seemed good," Acts 15, 28, "and it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay on you no greater burden than these requirements." James. "Yeah, Jesus is my brother. Yeah, I know he made all the wine. Yes, tax collectors and sinners. Yeah, we tried to go talk some sense into him. He wouldn't even listen to us. You think you're so big? Go to Jerusalem." That James became a man through whom the will of God was spoken by the Holy Spirit. He became a writer of the Bible. He became someone that was inspired by the Spirit of God to give us a message from Jesus. What is there in your life that can't be overcome? Nothing. Maybe your relationship is with Jesus is not what it should be. James knows what you mean. All his brothers and sisters know what you mean. But I will tell you, in the end, the crucifixion and the resurrection trump it all. And it should join us together as a family of brothers and sisters, more tightly woven than our own blood kin. Our final verse is just from the book of James in verse 1. Who did James become? What did the crucifixion and the resurrection? What did the story of the gospel, that there is forgiveness of sins by the blood of Jesus Christ, that we can stand right before God and we can go to live with Him one day in heaven? Where did that come from? That came from Jesus and those who believed in Him. James chapter 1 and verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you're a middle brother or you're a younger brother or sister, you know it had to be one of the hardest things to write in the world. Yeah, my older brother was right. Yeah, he's the Messiah. I'm 58 years old. My brothers can't admit that I'm right about anything to this day. My middle brother gets mad at me all the time, and I'm just standing around doing nothing. James was willing to say, yes, my brother is my Lord. I don't know what family relationship is keeping you from the Lord, but there shouldn't be any. James could overcome it. Why? Because he believed Jesus was who he said he was. Now, he didn't believe it until he was resurrected and ascended, but neither do I. Neither do you. We don't believe that Jesus is who he said he is because he said he was. We believe he was who he said he was because the tomb is empty. Because if Peter was going to wander around Jerusalem saying the Pharisees and Sadducees murdered the Christ, and they had killed the Christ and they knew where his body was, do you think for a moment they wouldn't have followed Peter around to every place he preached? I guarantee you they would have. Why didn't they? Because you are seeking the living with the dead. He is not here. As he told you, he has gone to his Father. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. Jesus was a man from Nazareth. People didn't even know he was born in Bethlehem. He was. He was born in Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth. Lived most of his life in the Bible times in Capernaum. He was a carpenter's son. He was a man of little account. But God showed him to be the Son of God, the Messiah, and gave him a kingdom. That phrase, Lord Jesus Christ, or Lord Christ Jesus, is all through the Bible. And it means so much more than we can ever imagine. You've heard me say this many times, and there's a reason for it. Jesus in Matthew chapter 28, this before or after the resurrection, this is after. In fact, it is at the moment of his ascension. He says, all authority, Matthew 28, 18, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, because I'm a king, because I've been given a kingdom, because I am the rightful Lord, go make citizens of my kingdom. Go make disciples. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, I am king. Bring servants into my kingdom. Give them the oath of office. Baptize them. Make them Christians. Make them of the new kingdom. And then tell them everything I told you. Teach them all things I've told you, even to the end of the age. Those men who believed that saw Jesus on the cross. They saw Jesus in the tomb. And they saw Jesus in real life after. And they saw him ascend into heaven. Among their number was another carpenter's son, not the oldest, not the first believer, a skeptic, sarcasm, the brother of our Lord, Jesus. And yes, he admitted he's the Christ, the Messiah, and I've given him control of my life. What he says I will do, what he says to avoid, I will avoid. I've made the decision. I will follow Jesus, standing for the right. Have you? James stands as an example that you can overcome family situations and job situations and poverty and whatever else there may be in your life. You too can become a faithful follower of Jesus Christ, and you too can go to heaven to meet him one day. If you've never become a Christian, we want that for you so badly. If you are a Christian and you've fallen away, if you've become a skeptic again and you need more faith, and we all do, or you need help and you need to overcome sin in your life, will you come forward this morning? We will pray or baptize you as the moment needs, if you will come forward as we stand and we sing.